Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Cindy Baldwin.
And this is the midweek version, the midweek. That was good. The midweek version of Fiber Talk, the twice weekly podcast for those who do needle work, art, whatever. Yes. Stitch hour tonight. We're going to just hang out and do some stitching back again after the little hiatus. And then, unfortunately, next week, not going to have a stitch hour again. Sorry. I really feel bad that we have this regular schedule and I keep breaking it up. But first concert for our 7-year-old grandson, Christmas concert. And yeah, you know.
Well, you can't miss that.
No. Can't do that. And he started piano lessons like a month ago. And so, you know, he can single finger, whatever. But apparently he's going to play a song. Apparently all the kids who are doing piano are going to play some kind of a song. So, yeah, you can't miss that. No. So.
Cool.
So not next week. We'll have a regular podcast, but we won't have the stitch hour. And then we'll try to get back on a regular schedule. But, yeah, grandson wins out. So.
Well, and it's December. There's holiday stuff going on and all of that. So.
Yep. But we will be on tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern on the YouTube channel. Join us. We always have fun. Yep.
Yes.
Sunday. I say that, yeah, I'm not. I was going to say don't miss it because it's really good. Because I say that every week, but Helen Stevens is our guest.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I'll say wow.
Uh huh.
Yeah, double wow. Just talking to her. Holy smokes. Whew.
I can imagine.
Yeah. And we only got, I think we only covered maybe half of what we intended to cover. And so she's going to be back here in the next month or so for a second go around to get the rest of it. She's just an amazing woman. Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've looked at her books and things like that for years.
Yeah. Yep. The one where I really became aware of her, and I'm sure I'd seen her work, you know, 1,000 places, just didn't associate the name with it, you know? But and we talk about it in the show, but it was an Inspirations magazine probably a couple of years ago now, where she had a design that was a coral reef, a sea fan and a clownfish and some coral, and it was the most realistic depiction I'd ever seen of reef life with needle and thread. Cause usually it just looks cartoony, but, oh, it was just, you know, stopping your tracks. And that particular magazine is set aside. It's not with the rest of the Inspirations magazine. Cause I am going to do that one of these days. But, it was one of those like, holy smokes, who pulled that off? Helen Stevens. And then from then on, you know how you're then aware every time her name shows up. And,
And her work is pretty unique. I usually recognize that. I don't remember seeing that, the coral reef. I'll have to go back and look for it.
Yeah. It's just the ability to execute and make it look so realistic is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and she does that with all her stuff. I mean, it's just mm-hmm. incredible work. And, talking to her, you talk about somebody who knows her business, knows how she gets it done, knows what to do. Yeah, all of it. It's just, we could have done a 3-hour show, just that, the one for Sunday. Easy, yeah. She's amazing. So that's Sunday, and part two coming up. Just, right. Yeah. There's, you know, we do that with guests. You have some, and it's not a bad thing. You have some where there's an hour and a half of material, and you talk to them, and we learn what they do and how they do it, and then that pretty much covers it.
Right.
And then there's people like Helen Stevens, where there's such a body of work and such a history that you just could go on for days talking to her. And she's one of those where, you know, you sit down in the afternoon in her home, and you know, it'd be time for bed, and you go, holy smokes, what happened to the day?
Right.
You know, just, those kind of people, and she's one of them. She was terrific. So Sunday, yep, a good one. Sassy Jack Stitchery. Kim is just posted this weekend. They poured a ton of concrete, so they're getting the parking lot. And I just talked to her, and inspections are happening, and they're getting down to the nub now. They're starting to move. And she just posted, we're recording this on Monday, so she just posted some sales. So she's down to the brass tacks of actually moving, you know, inventory. And I talked to her. She said, yeah, they had a couple sinks to put in, but they were pretty much getting ready to move the inventory and getting ready, looking like January, February time frame, somewhere in there, time they get, I can't even imagine what it's like to get all that set up. And still run a business, you know. So anyway, she's having a sale because she'd like to move some things she'd just like to not have to move. So Hands Across the Sea sampler charts are deeply discounted. From what I can tell and what I know, several of them below cost. But if you have some hats, Hands Across the Sea sampler charts that you want, SassyJackStitchery.com. Kim has them all on sale. And $10? A lot of them $10 and others deeply discounted. So check that out. Her sassafras samplers are on sale, and she has she's really developed a nice collection there. So those are on sale. And then she said then a bunch of her other charts, are also on sale. So sassyjackstitchery.com, check that all out. And then they're getting ready to restart the Cosmo Thread Club. She had that going, and then the moving and everything, it kind of stopped. Well, it's getting restarted. So, and that Cosmo thread is beautiful. So check all that out at sassyjackstitchery.com. But hats, samplers, Hands Across the Sea samplers, charts, clean her out. She's really got the prices down on those. You can get some excellent deals there. And then check out the other ones. She's just, you know, it's anybody who moves, they don't want to move anymore and they have to. And you like to have some extra space in your new place, so you can add new inventory, and so you clean out. So go nuts.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Do it, Cindy. We'll pause right here. You can sign on order. There's a couple of sassafras charts I'm going to get. Yeah, she's got a couple good ones I like. Yep.
Yeah, I have her, the Shakespeare ones.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't think they've done the last one yet, but I think I have the first three.
Mm-hmm. Yep. There yeah, might she's...
be from other people that I might be interested in.
You might be. Okay. Yep. Get them, folks. Get them. Help her out. I mean, it's help her out. She wants to move, get some inventory out the door so she doesn't have to move it, and help her out, and she's got the prices down, so go for it. Yep.
Yeah, everybody's having sales now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, for the, you know, for Christmas.
Right. Yep. I'm really looking forward to to Kim getting the new place open. I'm anxious to get down there and see it. It's
definitely.
Yeah. Going to be a cool, not your standard steel and glass building, but a lot of character, history. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
Yep. So clean her out. Okay. So we're at church.
Yeah.
Sunday. And it was it was the first Sunday in Advent, and so Marg and I, new members, get called to help out with things, you know.
Huh?
And so we got called to help out with the first Sunday in Advent activities. They have a whole thing that's part of the service. It's really beautifully done. But so we got called, and yeah, sure, we'll help out. Had to haul a bouquet of roses up to the front at some point, you know. So we're there early to get instructed, and then we have to wait. And it's an old church. The main church is really old. And, of course, it's been modernized, and there's a big glass lobby that's been tacked on each end of it, and, you know, those kinds of things as you do over time. So we're out in the lobby, and I love old architecture. So I'm looking at where the church used, you know, what used to be the outside wall of the church, and then the lobby gets tacked on. And then I turn around, and I hadn't noticed that there's this the wall of glass for the new lobby is actually a piece of art.
Oh.
And it's all clear glass. It's not stained glass. It's all clear glass that's textured and has other things done to it. And so, you know, I had just a few minutes and, you know, nothing to do, just killing time. And my mind started working. Wait a minute. Look at this thing. If I just took a picture of this and copied it, this is a counted canvas design.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some squiggly lines through there that I'm sure were to depict water and things. And I'm thinking, all right, this is a counted canvas design. This is couched gold thread of some kind to make the curved lines. And there was a big circle within a circle thing, and it had a bunch of words on it, which I wouldn't bother with the words. Mm-hmm. But I'm standing there, and I did. I took pictures. I thought, wait a minute. I think I could create a counted canvas piece out of this. And and then my mind's working. All right, would I put color in, or would I do it like an all whites, or what would I do? And so I went into I want to say designer mode, but I'm not a designer. But you started to see it, you know, and you know, I was wondering how many people who've been stitching a long time see things and start mentally putting together a design, you know? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So I'm taking a design class right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a cyber workshop shop through ANG, and the instructor is Carolyn Mitchell. So it goes for, I don't know, 4 or 6 months. And so November 1st was when we started, and that when we got our lesson. And it's kind of about, you know, looking at things that might inspire a design.
Uh-huh. Okay. And all right. So wait a minute. Back up now. All right. So what prompts you to take this class?
So the title of the class is Making Stitches Work for You.
Okay.
And Robin Rozignol is taking the class too. And, you know, we're talking about it and thinking about, you know, well, this sounds like it would be good to help us, you know, maybe learn how to do circles better. And she is going to address that, I think, in a future lesson, you know, or how to lay out a design, or, you know, so that's kind of what prompted us to take the class, is just, you know, getting better at designing things,
mm-hmm.
which we've both designed projects in the past, just, you know, not knowing what we were doing, just doing it.
Yeah, sure.
And so, you know, learning a little bit more about how other people do it. And so this is, you know, this is what partly what it's about, is learning how other people, because we're supposed to be posting pictures and ideas and stuff like that. And I haven't done any of that yet because I wasn't really thinking about it. I was working on other stuff. But I ran across a couple of things. I bought a quilt coloring book off of Amazon. And just, you know, because it's, quilts are a great, can be a great template for the kinds of things that we do. How many designs do you see counted canvas that are reminiscent of quilts?
Right.
Or actual quilts? So I've used quilt designs in the past for designing a project. And So this is a coloring book, so it's got big spaces for coloring. And there's a couple in there that are kind of percolating in my head, you know, thinking about stitches I might use and how I might lay it out and what I might change from the design in the book.
Yeah.
Interesting. So, yeah.
Okay, so that's – because, see, it's interesting to me because, you know, we talk to so many people from Europe and Australia and other – who their orientation is create your own design. We in here, we in America, our orientation is buy a design and execute it. I mean, there really are two worlds. And we've talked so many times about modifying designs that to make them yours or creating your own. And, you know, if you talk to Gay Ann Rogers, you know, just create your own. I mean, she doesn't want to hear about anything else. But so from your perspective, then, are you taking this class with the mindset of I want to be able to learn what other people do so I can modify designs? Or are you really, would you like to create your own and you're hoping to pick up some skills here?
Oh, it's the latter.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean I'm perfectly happy to do somebody else's design. And, you know, I think that, I don't think there's, the majority of people, probably even overseas, are not going to sit down and design their own project.
Right.
They're going to do a design that somebody else has made up. And part of it is because they don't want to think about, it's hard to design things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they don't want to think about it. They just want to know what threads they need and, you know, what the stitches are and then sit down and do it. So I do that. I often change the colors.
Yeah.
In fact, I very rarely use the colors that the design, not for cross stitch. I don't change those colors.
Uh-huh.
But needlepoint, I can't think of the last thing I did that I used the designer's colors.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah.
And I have two projects. Two correspondence courses for Sue Reed through ANG,
mm-hmm.
that total color change, total, yeah. You know, 180 degree away from what she's doing. And I, you know, I think they'll turn out okay, but I don't really know. It's right. An experiment.
Right.
There's something else that I'm, I don't know. I've got too many things, too many projects. Yeah.
Well, that's, you know, that's an interesting dynamic there because, you know, you don't want taking someone's design and executing it is not a bad thing. It's,
no.
I mean, it's what this hobby's built on. It's fun. I mean, you know, I do it all the time. We all do it. We all have rooms full of stuff that we're going to execute because it's just fun to do. And it looks good. Mm-hmm. You picked it because you like it. And yeah, if you change colors because you didn't care for the orange, you know, that's fine. But then, yeah, do you get to a point or just walking around through the days where you go, wait a minute, that would make a good design. I wonder if I could pull that off. And I think when you go to do a design, you quickly discover it doesn't just happen overnight. Just
right.
Time you figure out all the threads and the colors and then chart it and then write instructions. And I think every designer tell you how much they hate writing instructions. And it's not just a quick and dirty thing with a piece of software by any stretch.
Oh, no. Or picking up a piece of canvas and, you know, starting to stitch.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, maybe a little more inclined to do that than I am to actually sit down and chart something out and then try to stitch it.
Uh-huh.
When I do that, I wind up changing it as I'm stitching it anyway. So sometimes, I've been doing some more of those perforated paper ornaments. The last batch that I did, I came up with my own design and I sketched it out. I did three new ones. I sketched them out beforehand, but then I found out when I was stitching them that I didn't really like the way it looked. So I, you know, just kind of modified them as I went along.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that's, you know, that's one of the questions we ask most designers is, you know, what is your process? And that's never consistent. And yeah, because right. there are those who do exactly what you do is do a rough sketch and you start and figure it out on the fly. And some people are able to do it in a piece of software and stick to it. Till the model stitcher comes along and says, this isn't working.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I took close-up pictures of them so that I could chart them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I gave them away. So I don't have them anymore.
There we go. Yeah.
But I have pictures of them so I can chart from there. And then I can, you know, if I... So we are doing some teaching for the rec center coming up this winter. And both Robin and I. And I'm doing a cross stitch piece, which is a DMC, free DMC pattern, a kind of a beginning cross stitch. But she's come up with some other small projects that she's designed herself.
Mm.
So this is part of it, you know, learning to design things that we might teach either for the guild or for, you know, some other group.
Yeah.
All the things that we're teaching right now are just one time. You know, 2-hour things, you know, enough to get people started.
Right. Yeah. Expose them to the hobby. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole design thing is interesting because, yeah, I mean, there, you know, obviously there's a whole bunch of people who do designs and are very good at it. And we buy their charts and instructions all the time. But even, I think if you stitch for a number of years, your mind starts to think that way. You know, what could I do one, or could I take this one and modify it and add my own design elements to it? And I got to believe it enters everyone's mind at one point or another. And you know, some people act on it, and some people just say, "Well, it's a thought." Moving on, just back to what I was doing. But like this design on this window. I'll probably never do it, but you know, I think I will sit down and draw it out and just kind of pick at it just to see what would be involved. And who knows, maybe, you know, the switch flips on and I actually do it. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, wait a minute, this could be a design. And it reminded me when I was doing photography all the time, you know, that's what happens to you is everything you see, you start to visualize through a camera frame.
Yeah.
And, you know, oh, if the light were over here, this would be a good shot, or this is nothing, or, you know, and so you go through the days just evaluating that. And that happened to me with this one, but it was a needlework thing. Like I see this could work. Yeah.
And I thought you were going to say that you saw some architectural element in the front of the face of the church.
Oh.
That kind of turned that switch on in your mind.
Yeah. No. No, it was this glass. And there's some vertical lines that have, they look like crystals. So immediately you could see the beadwork. And yeah, there was all kinds of elements. And my mind just started just putting it all together right there, and you know, grab the phone, take a couple pictures. It's worth playing with, but
well, maybe we could collaborate.
Yeah, well, hey, I'm all for it. I mean, I think it would make a good design, but gotta go through all the work. So, all right, I'll send you a picture. We'll collaborate, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, it's just an interesting thing, and I think it's worth. If you never design your own piece, to at least get to a point where like you, where you rarely do this the colors that were in the needlepoint piece, at least get comfortable enough that you can change things, or so that even to the most basic of things, I don't have that color, and it's going to take 2 weeks to get it, and I'd really like to finish this, and you're comfortable enough changing and putting a different color in there.
And another thing is that, you know, we've talked about how dye lots change, especially with watercolors.
Mm-hmm.
And designer has used a watercolors in the pattern. Her colorway might be very different from what you can get now.
Yeah.
And so whatever other threads she's put with it, those colors might not work with the watercolors that you are using.
Yeah.
Or whatever overdyed. I love the thread gatherer, Silken Colors. I have an embarrassing amount of her thread. And there's one that I like a lot called Monster Mash.
Uh-huh.
And I've it's violets, dark blue violets and orange and kind of a burgundy, maybe a little bit of green. And I was out of it, so I ordered a couple more skeins, and it's very different
from
what I had originally. It's still pretty, but it looks a lot different from the original skeins that I have.
Yeah.
So moral of that story is buy 2 skeins at least.
Well, as a regular practice, make sure you have plenty of thread. Because if a project doesn't get done and 2 years go by, you may not be able to get it, or the dye lot changes, any number of things. Yeah, I'm a firm believer. Buy a little extra; it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then if you go to some of Needle Delights Designs,
mm-hmm.
She's the one that does the color. I don't know if you follow her on Facebook or Instagram. She does the Color Delights series. She's done 50 of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's got a whole bunch of other things that are not monochromatic that use lots of watercolors in them. And one of them is on my list of things to do. But it's an older pattern. And, we're talking about watercolors again, and it's got a lot of watercolors in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, the dye lots will have changed, maybe drastically. And so we want to make sure that, as I'm going to do it with another person, that as we collect our threads, that we make sure that they do go together, that they look, somewhat similar to what it was originally. Or maybe we will need to replace something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, and if you have any collection of charts that are
old. You're doing another pattern, you're almost forced
to
maybe change thread colors.
Yeah.
Maybe not a lot, but maybe a little bit.
Yep. And in many cases, threads, because they don't exist anymore. And
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, you got to... Got to figure it out, and that embarrassing amount of a thread. Yeah, so what?
Well, I'll tell you what. That was my source of the colorways for the 2 Sue Reed pieces.
Uh-huh.
I just dumped out my bag of Silken Colors and sorted through it till I found the ones I thought I wanted to work with. I had 3 of them. Because I knew I was starting with 1 Sue Reed piece. I knew there was another one coming up. And I signed up for a 3rd one for her. So I had 3 different Silken Colors. Oh, maybe there was a Gloriana in there too. I don't remember. But we went to Stitcher's Garden in Illinois several months ago. And I had those with me. And I just pulled threads for the one particular chart that I already had the instructions for.
Mm-hmm.
And the owner asked me if I was actually going to stitch it 3 times. And I said, no, this is just, these other 2 are stash enhancements for future projects. I might not use all those threads. I might wind up getting some different threads, but some of them will be useful to me
right.
in those future projects.
Right.
And that's exactly what what I've done. You know, I've had to modify a little bit for the next project, and I don't have the instructions for the third project yet, so I'm not sure what I'm doing on that one, except that I know I'm changing her colors.
Yep. Yep. No, that's true. You know, the last time I always like to keep a half yard or a yard of needlepoint canvas, 18 count needlepoint canvas in white and off-white. And the last time I went into a shop and, I want a yard of that. Well, what are you going to do with it? Who knows? And they looked at me like I was weird, but I said, I just like having it around. And then if I have a whim and need a piece of canvas, then I cut one out and have it. And, I just like having that. I mean, linen, who doesn't have a bunch of linen, but, I just like having that. So I have it rolled up in the closet and, always have it available. And yeah, you go pick up threads and get the ones you want. And you see a couple other colors in that thread line, grab those too. And, never know. Yeah.
Yeah. I do the same thing. I've got colors and in addition to the white and the ecru. Yeah. And I've got a pretty good stash of Congress cloth too.
Oh, okay.
And I've got that in colors. I've got pink and I've got black and I've got maroon. I even have a
Congress cloth. Wow.
I even have a piece of purple that I bought years and years and years and years ago, and I've never used it. But it is a real purple.
Like deep, rich, royal purple.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ooh. Almost afraid to use it because you can never replace it.
Right, right.
I didn't know Congress cloth came in colors like that. Wow, I didn't know. News to me. Oh.
So I also have, I just got this recently, a piece of kind of a, it's darker than ecru. It's kind of a soft gold, really pale gold.
Uh-huh.
And then the other one is kind of a pale mocha.
Hmm.
So obviously, that those are, a lot of designers aren't using Congress cloth to design on.
Right.
So, you got to look for the right project. Although there's no reason you can't use an 18 count pattern on Congress cloth. You just need to change your threads.
Right. Right.
To a lighter weight.
Right. Yeah. You just got to adjust. Yeah. I like Congress cloth. I like working with it.
I do too.
Yeah, I really do. I like the pixelation gets reduced just because it's a finer count, and I like that effect. It's like if you have what's supposed to be a curved edge, it's more of a curve than stair steps. And
right.
I like it. It's nice to work with. Yeah, I don't know who. I mean, Gayanne Rogers, she uses that all the time, but I don't know anyone else who uses Congress cloth as their standard base.
Well, the next project, Sue Reed project that we're doing, is on Congress cloth.
Uh-huh.
And that's I can't remember. It's an ANG cyber workshop or something like that. The woman in Australia, Anna Marie Mays.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Stitches.
Yep.
She uses Congress cloth.
I didn't realize that. Mm-hmm. I love her work.
Yeah, we did. She has several free projects on her website, and we did the autumn stitches as a group project in our guild, and we're going to do summer stitches over the winter when we meet online.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we don't really teach it. We do it as kind of a stitch along, and everybody kind of does their own thing. But if, if people need help, Robin and I can help them.
Yeah.
So I am using, I flip-flop these first. The one that was Autumn Fireworks, I used a really bright rainbow thread called Ada's Rainbow from Gloriana. I mean, it's screamingly bright red, hot pink, and turquoise, and yellow, and orange.
Need your sunglasses.
Yeah, really. In fact, the framer really struggled to find mats.
Oh. That
were intense and brightly, you know, good saturation colors to go with it. I think he went several places before he found the right.
Yeah, yeah, and had stories to tell. You're not going to believe this piece. I'm trying to get this framed with.
Yeah.
It's
the
so
one
bright.
Summer fireworks is, it's the similar kind of idea, but for this one I'm using a Gloriana thread called it's a Floramel, and I'm not sure how that differs from their regular stranded silk. It is a stranded silk, but it's autumn colors. It's gold and burgundy and green. And so, like I say, I should flip-flop the names of them. This one should be autumn fireworks. The other one should be summer. And I'm going to use that soft gold Congress cloth.
Ah, okay.
For it.
Yep.
So I've got all my threads now. I needed a couple of other, that it requires over dyed and then four other threads, solids or monochrome type over dyes.
Yeah.
I needed a couple that I needed some that were lighter shades of those, the gold and green and burgundy. So I picked those up a couple weeks ago. So I'm ready to get it framed up and we'll start it in December.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you keep several going? I mean, obviously you keep several going at once. I mean, but you actually finish pieces.
I do.
Compared to me, who never seems to finish anything. Oh, well. Though I will say I have been working diligently on my banding sampler.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually Sunday I sat down noon, 12:30, and I stitched away through all the football games until 10:30 at night. So
holy smokes.
Yeah, I kept going. I was pleased. Yep. So I'm moving along on that thing. Like I said last week, I'm at a point now where I can see an end, and we're gonna get there. Yeah, and actually, even have figured out how I'm gonna finish it, because it's gonna go. I've got Beth gave me a spool from an old textile mill.
Yeah.
That it's going to get mounted on, but already I figured out I'm going to put a backing fabric on it, and you know, just so the stitches don't get snagged on the back, and put it on that spool. But yeah, I already mentally have moved on to the next step. But yeah, I've been cooking along on this thing, and now there's one where I'm using NPI silk, and I didn't know how much it was going to take, because it's over one strand over one is what I'm using. And I didn't know how much it was going to take. And I bought at the time from Sassy Jacks, I think I bought maybe five, maybe six skeins just to be sure, because it's a deep blue and any dye lot change would be obvious.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I'm glad I have it. I'm glad I have it. Cause now when I stitch and have to tear out, and that silk on, and it's kind of a coarse linen, and that silk doesn't hold up for, you know, to pull out a thread and restitch. So I just throw them away, and I'm really glad I'm sitting here with a nice supply, because it's easily been, well, it was before the pandemic, so it's been 3 years, and you know darn well I couldn't match it again. So
right,
yeah, glad I bought it. I really am. But I've been cooking away. My table that stays empty all the time, I just pull that out and turn on the TV and go for it. Yep. Actual stitching.
Yeah, I've been working pretty steadily on the pumpkins.
Oh yeah.
And so I'm keeping up with my WETGO board. I've changed it several times. And I just I have one piece that I haven't started yet, and I decided that I wanted to do something totally different from what I had decided I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to buy different fabric.
Yep.
But I found a perfect piece at Be Stitch Me in Moline.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and that's right. We did a show with her. Is that that's a nice shop, huh?
It is a nice shop. Her threads are beautiful. She's got a good selection of really up-to-date charts. Of course, it's a new shop, you know, so she doesn't have the whole, you know, charts from 40 years ago that every shop that's been around for a while has.
That's got to be the toughest part about owning a shop. Is the buildup of old stuff. If you don't consciously move it out, yeah, I'm sure it just collects over the years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Her silk threads that she dyes are beautiful, so I've added a few of those to my collection of over-dyed silk threads. But yeah, it's a very nice shop.
Yeah, it sounded like it. Tell me about those threads, because now I'd forgotten that she does that. Strand? How many strands? Six strand silk?
Six strands. Yeah, six strands. I don't know what she uses as her. Oh, you know, I'm not sure about that. I might be wrong. I haven't really looked at it that close, because most silk is 12 strand.
Right.
I bet it's 12 strand. I haven't looked at it that closely.
Okay. Because I think my NPI silk, I think that's 8. I think it is.
I don't know what she uses as her base.
I need to get need. I love the way we throw the word need around. It's so funny. Need. Yeah, I think I need to order some of her threads just to have and see. Yeah. Desperately need. Yeah.
I think they're on sale now.
Yeah. Can't get through tomorrow without having some of her threads. That's how bad it is. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We.
You know, the cool thing is that these, you know, all these different people that are dyeing threads, whether it's silk or cotton, you know, whatever, they all come up with different color combinations that are so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think I've run across any where you say, oh, that's just like so-and-so.
No, they're all different.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I think I need to get some. Mm-hmm. And on sale, never hurts.
Oh, no.
No.
I don't know if it was a Black Friday sale or if it's a Christmas sale or what. I have been trying. For that shop, I'll go over there. I'm in the Quad Cities every 3 weeks anyway.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, I'll be there, I don't know, the week after next. So maybe I'll go and see if they have anything I can't leave without.
They will. Is that, when she opened that shop, did that give you a relatively convenient shop? Did you have anything before then?
So it's about 20 minutes closer to me than the shop we have been going to. There's a shop in Waverly, Iowa, which is a little bit northeast of Waterloo.
Uh-huh.
It's an hour and a half away from me. And this is a shop that's been there for a long time. It's called Fiberworks.
Uh-huh.
And it's a nice shop. She has a good selection of everything, including quilting fabric. So she does quilts as well as, I mean, every form of needlework. And she has a good selection of threads. She doesn't have a full line of anything. She's like a lot of shops, you know, if somebody needs a color, they'll order, you know, that color of the Rainbow Gallery, especially.
Yeah. Oh, there's no way. Can you imagine a store that had every color of every line of Rainbow Gallery? That's a warehouse. I mean,
yeah, it would be. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you couldn't afford it. No.
No. And if you need something that she doesn't have, she'll order it for you. I have ordered canvas from her, mm-hmm. blank canvas, and I have it like it the day after.
Oh, okay.
Right. So that's where we have been going. And we just, when we decide that we need threads, need threads, usually Robin needs something and there's one or two other people that need something. So we just all go up together.
Oh, that's fun. See? Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Have lunch,
And sure.
Spend an hour or two at the store.
Yeah. Enabling each other. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why not?
So Bestitch Me doesn't have canvas.
Okay.
She said that she could get it in for us if we want, if we wanted to order something, but she's really cross-stitch.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
She has a great selection of, and I know you don't like the over-dyed fabrics, but
no.
She has a really nice selection of those. She doesn't have plain fabrics out. I suppose if you wanted to buy, length of plain linen, mm-hmm. of whatever size, she would do that for you, but she doesn't have them out in the store.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. No, I can never, I just can't, and they're beautiful fabrics, the overdyed stuff, to look at, you can see they're beautiful fabrics, but I just can't, I need a solid background. I just always feel like the modeling or whatever gets in the way of the design. It's just a thing for me. It's got to be a solid background or I can't cope mm-hmm. with it. Yeah. But I say that, but then I've seen, hundreds and hundreds of designs where the overdyed background really adds to it. And it's, I don't disagree with it. Just don't care for it. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, so I was on a fabric club through Fiberlicious for a couple of years, where every month I got a 13x17 piece of whatever she dyed specially for the club.
Uh-huh.
I think I got 32 count linen. So I've got a lot of custom dyed fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And I've used some of it for my pumpkins.
Uh-huh.
When I got to the point where I was ready to start something, I'd go dig through that first to see if there was something I could use.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because we were talking, Beth was mentioning last week that she was inventorying her stash, which
yeah.
no, don't do that. But there is something to be said for taking some time and just looking through stuff that you have because you forget.
Oh, yeah.
And, there'll be one thing, oh, that's right, and you haul it out, and then you want to do it. Yeah.
Well, and even if you have it inventoried, and I do have a fairly decent inventory of my stuff. I don't have all my threads in it, but it's an app on the phone
uh-huh.
that I use. And I try to put stuff I can put threads and linens and charts and beads in there.
Mm.
So when I buy something new, I try to add it right away. I don't always manage that. But even if you have an inventory like that, you look at something and let's say so one of the pieces of fabric that I'm using is called Cafe Misto. If I looked at that on my inventory list, I'd go, what the heck is that? the names don't always tell you what it looks like, but it's a beautiful, it's kind of a neutral. It's got a little bit of a little green, a little brown, a little, cream color in it. And I'm doing some little ornaments on it. One has a turkey. One has I can't remember what the other two animals. And then there's pumpkins, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, fall leaves. So they're all fall colors. So they look really nice on this fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so, yeah, you actually have to, The same thing with the over-dyed threads when I'm looking for something to use as an inspiration for a project. You know, the threads, the names don't mean anything. You got to dump them out and fondle them.
Yes. Yeah. Fondle the threads you need. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Well, I'm going to check in with Beth here and see how she's doing on inventorying her stash.
I have already created my WIPCO for the pumpkins for next year.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah. And then I got to thinking maybe I need to do another one for my needlepoint projects. Because I have so many that
a double WIPCO? Oh, man.
Well, and then I thought, I don't know if I really want to do that. Maybe I just want a list. Because
yeah.
I actually do do cross stitch and needlepoint every week.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I'm working on the pumpkins. Those are the only cross stitch projects I'm working on. I think, yeah, I don't think I have anything else started that's cross stitch. But with all the needlepoint stuff that I've got going on and that I've signed up for, Cyber Pointers is going to do Debbie Rowley's Mermaid's Tale.
Oh, that thing.
As a workshop.
Oh, that thing is great.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I've ordered that.
It's great, and it's so un-Debbie Rowley-like, and it is so cool. You know, I just, every time I see that, it's like, go, Debbie. Excellent. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then she's doing two more of her mostly series on Shining Needle Society.
Oh, okay.
I forget which ones these are, but I don't have them. So far I've resisted, but I think I only have a couple more days. Oh, maybe today's the last day.
They have to act quick.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think I already have three or four. I don't know how many there are in the series.
I have no idea. Yeah. Yeah. I used to think I knew everything in her catalog and can't keep up.
No. Did you? And I saw, I don't know if it's next year's EGA offerings for National, or I don't think AMG's published theirs yet, but she's got another mermaid project.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. I think it's a little bit smaller and there's not as much of the mermaid's tail showing and it's at the top of the piece.
Hmm.
And there's maybe some other stuff, you know, it's a little different, quite a bit different from the Mermaid's Tale. But
yeah. We'll have to check her out now. Yeah, I didn't look.
I'm pretty sure it was EGA that I saw that on.
Okay. Because EGA, that's in Boston next year, right? I think it is.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, because that was, that intrigues me because I love Boston, but I love New England, and an extended trip up into Maine is very appealing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I could get Margaret to go for that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Yeah.
So what are you going to work on when you get done with your band?
You know, it's interesting because when Beth mentioned last week about 10 stitches a day on a project for a year.
Yeah.
And so yeah, that's a good question because what I was thinking about doing is I've got a couple of reproduction samplers that are halfway, two-thirds-ish done. And I was thinking, and they're big ones. So I was thinking about getting one of those out and setting it up and doing the 10 stitches per day until they're finished. Because I think I can pull that off. See, the WIPCO stuff, I'm just an idiot for even trying to do that stuff because I never can keep up. But I think I could do 10 stitches if it was set up, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking about doing that to get one of those done. And then I really want to get back to the Gay Ann Rogers, the Downton Abbey series.
Oh,
those, the Lady Mary, I think, is the one that I've got a few stitches in. And so I think I'm going to, that's what I'm thinking, is 10 stitches a day for a year on a reproduction sampler, and then go back and work on that Lady Mary one, because it, I just love the colors for it, and I'd really like to do that. So,
yeah.
And keep a dual thing going is kind of what, what I'm thinking. Or at least try. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. And then there's this Avlia one. What is this here?
Oh, yeah. Have you checked to see if the Jeanette Douglas's flowers will fit on?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I will do that. The Sea of Light, the Avlia Sea of Light is, oh, man, I got to do this. All these blues. It's beautiful. Yep. And I showed it to Marga, and so she immediately, when are you going to have that done? I know right where I'm going to use it. Oops. And that's something else that's interesting. So Krista West, Avlia Folk Embroidery, sent me the kit, the Sea of Light. It'll be soon available soon. But she sent me, I am absolutely stunned, because she has mentioned about how the DMC floss that comes off of the spools is so much shinier, and it's remarkably has a surprising shine to it, and I feel like it's a little fluffier, puffier, more body to it, but the shine is remarkable. And it makes me wonder what happens when they're put into skeins that we don't retain that. And then are, better quality? Because Beth was suggesting that someone said that there's different quality at different levels, like the big box stores don't get the top quality DMC floss. I don't know, but this stuff is it's a different thread all the way around.
I've heard that too. And I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that skeining it would affect the sheen that much. It might affect the fluffiness of it. If it's taut.
Yeah.
Might make it a little bit tighter.
Could be. I mean, the sheen on this stuff, I hesitate to say it, but I'm going to say it. It's almost silk-like. Like, this is not DMC thread. This can't be DMC thread. But it is.
Wow.
And maybe it's just the colors. I don't know, but I'm telling you, when I pulled them out, it was... I was surprised, and I've had them here for a week or so, and every time I look at them, it's like, wow, okay.
So you can buy DMC on cones on their website.
Right.
But,
who's going to use all that thread?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, on one of the Facebook pages that I follow, that's a witchy stitchy or witchery. I don't remember what it's called. Witchy stitchy something. And so, people talk about the cone of doom, which is a cone of black DMC. Because, they're doing things that use a lot of black thread. And so people do buy the cones of DMC.
Yeah.
Black.
Right.
But, unless you're a designer or... creating kits like Krista does, I can't imagine ever using a cone. I mean, when I consider how much floss I've got.
Yeah, there's no way you could buy a blue and use a cone of it. No. But
I suppose if you were doing a big project that was a monochromatic, something that you might use silicone.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. an 18 by 24 dark blue sky with stars on it. Yeah, you could use the blue.
Oh, well, I was thinking more along the lines of something like Modern Folk Embroideries designs, or, you know, Long Dog Sampler, or, you know, some of those that even ink circles where they're essentially monochromatic.
Yeah.
You know, like what you're doing.
Yeah.
With your sampler, the Bristol samplers.
Yeah.
The one that that Beth is doing in red, the I forget what it's called. There you could see, yeah, maybe a cone would be a better purchase than buying, you know, however many skeins of floss you might need.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how many yards are on a cone. I don't know.
I don't either.
But I'm telling you, this thread is, it's just noticeably better.
Makes me want to buy a cone and see if I see a difference.
And I don't know, let's see what the colors are. 311 navy, 931 antique blue medium, 926 gray, and 598 turquoise. But there's 64 yards of 311 navy. And of course, that's why it appeals to me. But the navy and the antique blue, she's just got them mixed together, and oh man, it's just beautiful. Yeah. And I'm telling you, the picture she has there, her pictures are always excellent, but it doesn't even come close to this thread. Mm-mm.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's really neat.
But it does make you wonder if you had some colors that you used a lot, if it would just be worth it to buy a cone, you know, and even if you didn't use it all up in 10 years, as long as you kept it protected, maybe so right. What? I don't know.
Well, I mean, a lot of people will post on the Facebook pages that they, you know, got grandma's thread, or, you know, somebody is getting rid of their mother's stash of threads, and they wonder if the threads are still good. And I've probably got threads that are 30 years old, DMC thread. There's nothing wrong with it. It's
right.
Fine. Again, as you say, as long as it's stored out of the sunlight and, you know, dry and all of that kind of stuff, there's no reason. Silk, I would wonder about, maybe. Silk deteriorates, but maybe might take, that's silk fabric that I'm thinking about. I don't know about the thread.
I doubt the thread. I mean, that thread's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do all my threads. I have them all put away and out of the sun. I go to some lengths to keep dust off of them and everything.
Right.
Just because of that. And yeah, I've got DMC. I don't think it's 30 years old, but it's certainly 20 years old. And I don't think a thing about using it. I mean, it works just fine.
Yep.
Yeah. Now I'm curious what a cone costs. I have to look that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never looked at it because I didn't think I'd ever use a cone.
It's a lot of thread.
It is a lot of thread.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
So I bought a chart by Jan Hicks Creates.
Uh-huh.
That is, I think she uses like 3 over dyes on it, but it's certainly one that you could do as a solid monochromatic, and it's kind of lacy patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that would be, you know, maybe the time when you'd want to get a, because it's fairly good sized.
Yeah.
And I've got Pandemic from Long Dog Samplers that I'd like to do someday, which is pretty good sized. And I know Jennifer is working on it.
Yeah.
It's just in my collection. But yeah. No.
Yeah. And I wonder, you know, if you had 3 or 4 people, you know, to buy cones and split it up, that might be a good thing of fairly standard colors.
right.
black, white, you know, right. some gray, you know, whatever. Might be worth it. I don't know. Anyway, fun to speculate. But look for Sea of Light, the Sea of Light border from Avliya coming out soon. Comes out, it's a 28 by 28 inch, 26 count fabric. And then it's one of those designs where you have these motifs in the corners so that you can set a, you know, a vase or something in the middle. And it's beautiful. It really is. So, yep, coming up. Yeah, so I have the kit. I have the cloth. She fixed it all up. So, yeah. Yep. Neat. All right, we better stop. Holy smokes, yeah, we better stop.
Yeah.
Tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern time, we do the Stitch Hour. Join us for that. Helen Stevens on Sunday. And SassyJackStitchery.com, clean Kim out. I mean, she's just got some great prices, particularly Hands Across the Sea sampler charts. Really some great prices. Go clean her out. Make her regret it. make her have to ship stuff for days on end.
And then restock it all.
Right, yeah, yeah.
To get to the shop.
That's right. Yeah. Make her pay the price for these sales here. Yeah, but no, I mean, Hands Across the Sea sampler charge for $10. Yeah, I think can fill in a couple. Sassafras samplers, yep.
Yep.
And, and speaking of collecting threads, that Cosmo Thread Club, I really like their threads.
I found the Cosmo threads in a quilt shop.
Yes.
So I added some of those to my stash.
Of course you did. No, apparently that's a standard thread or quilt shop fare is Cosmo threads.
Hmm.
Which is, I think Jennifer said that they're fairly common in quilt shops. Which is weird to me because as a stitching floss, it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So why is it not commonly available? I don't know, but I really like the thread. It's really nice. So,
you know, it's probably just for a normal shop. It's just one more line of cotton floss.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, you know, they don't have room for.
Yeah.
The shop in Waverly, Fiberworks, has the full line of DMC. They might have a little bit of Anchor. I don't remember if they do anymore or ever did. But a lot of shops used to carry Anchor as well as the DMC.
Yeah.
And now you can get it in the big box stores.
Right, right. Yeah, and I suppose you know that's the you know, only so much retail space, and every square inch costs money, and you know most designers, virtually all designers, use DMC, and even like the Jeanette Douglas things, she put those out, and the first thing was, do you have a DMC conversion for all those? So she had to go and do all the conversions, and it's hard to get away from basically a monopoly.
You can even go into, I don't know, does Walmart still carry that or have they switched to some other brand?
Got me. Have no idea.
I don't know either, but all the other big craft stores carry the DMC.
Right. Yep. It's just, it's hard to, you know, it's what people have. And yeah, if you've done it any length of time, then you now have a stash of DMC that you'd like to use. And,
But where it's a huge advantage to have another line is that DMC doesn't, maybe they don't have five shades of a particular color that you're looking for, and you need five shades or six or 10 or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, so if you've got access to another line that has slightly different shades, then you can fill in the gaps in the DMC. And that's what I've done. I've done that with Anchor more than once.
Yeah. And you can interchange those visually, there's no appreciable difference, if any.
Oh, no, they're the same.
Yeah.
You know, that I've done that on one of Debbie's pieces that had oranges in it. And the DMC, the light and the medium orange, I think it was a light. Maybe she had four shades of orange. And the light and the medium in the DMC, I couldn't tell the difference between. They were just close. And it wasn't the lightest shade of orange. You know, it was somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
So I went and looked in my anchor threads, and I had an orange that was just enough different that I could tell the difference.
Ah.
Mm-hmm. And so I used that. I think I used that instead of the medium because it was just a bit darker than the lighter shade. So there are times when you definitely need to do that. And, mm-hmm. and you know, it's just because it happened to be the flosses that I was able to get. You know, if I went now and got it, those two shades might be quite a bit different.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they were for Debbie, but for what I had at the time I was doing that project, I couldn't tell the difference between them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where having another line of threads pays off. Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. I like the Cosmo threads. I really do. Yeah. They're nice.
I think this quilt shop also carries Valdani threads.
And there's another one. Yeah.
And I like the Valdani threads.
Yep.
I haven't used their stranded cottons, but Rosewood Manor.
Yep.
She uses them on some of her. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do have several of the pearl cottons, and I've used those on different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Karen uses Valdani quite a bit. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, she's got a couple of her Quakers. There's actually a box of threads, the Valdani threads. You just buy the the balls in a box. And, yeah. She's got it all worked out. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's one, her series, her Winter Quaker and Autumn, those Quakers. That's something. That'd be a series to have. Of course, with Karen, there's always so many. But those Quaker designs that are actually fairly old now still are just gorgeous. Yeah.
I think Mom finished the Winter Quaker, except that she didn't do all the – she decided she didn't want to do all the snowflakes, and I don't think she decided to do all of the cardinals. Uh-huh. So it – finished as much as she's going to finish it.
Well, that was the one. That was the first time I encountered Karen Kluba. It was a long time ago, in the shop that doesn't exist anymore. There was hanging up on the wall was the Winter Quaker, and a wall full of models. Mm-hmm. And there's that one, and you just stop.
Yep.
Wow. Whose is that? What is that? Yeah, yeah. She has a talent, that lady. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep. All right, now we really got to end. Okay.
Yeah.
Pound on Kim. Buy charts from Kim. Join us tonight, 8 o'clock. Helen Stevens on Sunday. Thanks for listening.
Bye.